Christmas. Come on. Merry Christmas. There we go. Hey, listen, Thanksgiving's gone. December's here. The trees in the lobby, even the holdouts, right, not wanting to rush the seasons. Everybody's all in on Christmas now, right? We can say Merry Christmas. We can celebrate it. We can think about it. And by the way, I'm guessing that a lot of us have one of these guys set up in our homes at this point. It's just part of, look at that, this thing spins. I didn't know that. It's part of the decorations that we've got out at the house, right? You probably got several. You've got your favorite. You've got some that aren't breakable that the kids can play with and not make a mess. Right? We've got these in our homes, and it's not just decoration, right? It's not just something that comes out this time of year. This is a reminder from everything that we've studied and looked at the past several weeks in our Thread series, where we've looked at the promises of God throughout the Old Testament. When we start in Genesis 3 and we begin to hear about the Savior as we trace him all the way through, man, this right here reminds us of all of the promises of God. This right here reminds us that all of those promises of God have their yes in Jesus, right? And so every time we pull it out, every time we look at it, every time we see it at the Christmas season, we get to know, remember, understand, and celebrate that all of these promises come true in baby Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and then found lying in a manger. And as we read that and understand it, as we know it, as we read the Christmas story, as we see Jesus in the manger, we need to remember that Jesus grew up, right? He didn't stay the baby in the manger. He grew up to be all that God promised he would be. He grew up to do all that God told us these past several weeks as we've been reading together. He grew up to do all that God told us he was going to do, right? We trace the threads and we see the promises ultimately fulfilled in Christ. And one of those threads, what we're going to start sort of unraveling today and over the next several weeks, is the fact that Jesus, and we've seen a lot already, Jesus is promised by God throughout the Old Testament to come not only as Savior, but as prophet, priest, and king. Right? Many of you have heard that. For you, it might be a new thing, new thought, but Jesus comes as prophet, priest, king, and yes, ultimately as Savior. Warren Wiersbe, he's a Bible commentary writer, a great author, he says this about that. Our Lord has three offices, that of prophet, priest, and king. When he ministered here on earth, he declared God's word as prophet, and by his inspiration of his spirit, he caused it to be written down for our learning. We've got it, right? The words of Jesus here for our learning. He goes on to say he intercedes for his people as high priest in heaven, and he also sits on the throne and reigns as king, working out his purposes in this world. And one day he will return, and he'll reign on earth as King of Kings. This morning and over the next several weeks, we're going to begin to unpack that and understand those three roles. But today, we're going to look at how Jesus fulfills that role of prophet and of Messiah. If you've got your Bible this morning, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. We're going to launch out from there, and we'll be in several different spots today, but we're going to start in Deuteronomy 18. And as you turn there, think for a minute about what a prophet would do in the Bible. As you read the Old Testament, there's a long list of prophets, right? We can think of a lot of them. We can remember a lot of their names, right? But they would do several different things. But primarily, we need to understand that the prophets would speak for God, that they take words from God and they'd share them with people, right? Essentially, the prophets that we read about, they were messengers there from God, that they did what God told them to do. And they would share the messages in a couple of ways, as forth-tellers and as foretellers. They sound similar, but they're different. Forth-teller and foreteller. Forth-telling is declaring truth from God, right? Truth that can only be known by divine revelation from God, like the will of God, the purposes of God, the plans of God, the commands of God, and then sharing them with the people. Think about Moses. That's what he did, right? He got words from God and shared them with the people. The Ten Commandments, it's a very easy way to encapsulate that. He got the Ten Commandments from God, and he shared them with the people. That's what we mean by forth-telling. But the prophets in the Old Testament, they would also foretell. That's declaring events that God has told them about that are going to happen in the future, right? Telling us from God what is going to come. Think about Isaiah. Last week, we were in Isaiah 53, right? And in Isaiah 53, written 700 plus years before Jesus lived on earth, what do we have? Well, we have foretelling, where Isaiah talks about the Savior that's going to come. He talks about the life of the Savior, sinless. He talks about the death of the Savior on a cross between two wicked men. He talks about the burial of the Savior in a rich man's tomb. And then he talks about the life of the Savior coming back ultimately to give life to everyone that would believe in him. Listen, Isaiah foretold that 700 years before it actually happened. So the prophets of God, they proclaim truth and they reveal God's plans for the future. But that's not all. Right, these Old Testament prophets, they were very powerful with their words, obviously, but they were also powerful in action. Right? God worked through their deeds, through their actions in miraculous ways to let people know these guys are legit. These guys are from me. My hand is on these guys. The things that they are saying, they really are from me, and you can see it in what they do. Think about the miracles that God used Moses, for instance, again, to perform the parting of the Red Sea, the food and the water out in the desert. I mean, all of the different things that God used Moses to do so that people would know, okay, we can listen to him, right? This is a real and legit voice from God, right? So we see those things. Proclaim truth, talk about the future, have these miracles that go on. Think about that. Now think about Jesus. Jesus do that? Of course, all three. He checks all three boxes, right? Jesus does things very similar to what we see from those Old Testament prophets. But we're not just lining up similarities here when we think about Jesus as prophet. We're tracing a thread where God promised that would happen throughout the Old Testament. Your Bible's open, Deuteronomy 18. And in Deuteronomy 18, we need to see and understand that Jesus is predicted and promised, that Jesus is foretold as the last and final prophet that would come once and for all as a voice from God. Deuteronomy 18, 15 says this: "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It's to him you shall listen." Now remember that phrase, underline that phrase, just think about that phrase in your mind for a minute. God, through Moses, tells the people, "I'm going to raise somebody up, and it is to him you shall listen." He's saying, "I'm going to send you a new voice." Right? Make sure you got that. We're going to see it again in Scripture in the New Testament. He goes on to say in verse 18, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them all that I command him." Underline that too. So this prophet that's coming is not coming with his own voice. He's coming with a voice from God. Listen to him, because he's going to speak everything that I command him. We're going to see how this thread pulls together here in just a few minutes, right? Deuteronomy 18, right? We're reading that God's promising someone. He's promising that this prophet, this voice that's going to come once and for all. And this is Moses in Deuteronomy. And in between that time and the first century, in between that time and the time of Jesus, there were a lot of other prophets, right? A lot of other prophets throughout the Old Testament. But at the first century, at the time of Christ, go to John 1 if you've got your Bible open still. In John 1, we see that even though all these other prophets have come, they're still waiting for the Deuteronomy 18 promise. They're still waiting for the one that God had promised. In John chapter 1, you've got John the Baptist. What's he doing? He's going around and he's teaching and he's preaching, right? And people are blown away by this guy. And they've never heard anything like it. This is new. Nobody has this authority. Nobody has this power with their words. And so people want to know who he is. And the priests from Jerusalem, they go out of the wilderness. They're like, "Who are you? Tell us about what are you doing here? What's going on with you?" And the Levites, they leave the temple and they come down. And they say to John the Baptist, "Who are you?" And when they come to him in John chapter 1, look at what they say. "Are you the prophet?" The prophet. Not are you a prophet? Not are you a spokesperson from God? Are you the prophet? They're still waiting on the promised one of God from Deuteronomy chapter 18. They're still looking. And John the Baptist says, no, it's not me. It's not me. It's not me. He says, the entire purpose of my existence, the reason that I am here, and you and I, by the way, can learn a lot from John the Baptist here. He says, the reason that I am here is to point people to Jesus. The reason that I exist, the reason that I have breath in my lungs, is so that people will hear and know about Christ. And he points people to Jesus and says, Jesus is the one that's promised in Deuteronomy 18 and everywhere else in the Old Testament. We also see in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the past, God spoke to us, to our ancestors, through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in the last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, by Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he's made up the universe. Listen, Deuteronomy 18, that's fulfilled in Jesus. Right, well, we see it here in the testimony of John the Baptist. We see it here in the writing is in Hebrews chapters 1, verses 1 and 2. But we don't just see it there, and we don't just line up similarities. We have God tells us, Jesus tells us, and the New Testament church. They all tell us that Jesus is the one that Deuteronomy 18, 4 tells us about. Listen, God tells us that Jesus is that final prophet in Matthew 17, starting in verse 1. It says this, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, right? Those are his tight three, the inner circle of those disciples. And it says he goes up on the mountain with them together. Verse 2, he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. And behold, with him appeared Moses and Elijah, and they were talking with him. Pause there for a minute. Up on that mountain, right? Jesus is transfigured there, right? That this miraculous moment, Moses is there with him now, and Elijah is there with him now from generations ago, 1,000+ years for both of them. Before that, from the Old Testament, they're suddenly there, right? And they're talking with Jesus. And so, you know, this is found in Matthew, written to a Jewish audience. And so this Jewish audience that reads that man, Elijah's there and Moses is there, they're thinking about the major voices of the prophets of the Old Testament. Moses representing the books of the law, those first five books of the Bible. Man, that's Moses' voice right there. And Elijah representing the books of the prophets, right? That's Elijah's voice there speaking the words of God. And they're there together talking with Jesus. Look at verse 4 now. It says, Peter says to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. That's an understatement, right? It's good that we're here. Love to be there. He says, if you wish, I'm going to make three tents here. One for Moses, one for you, and one for Elijah. He's saying, it's good that it's here. Let's stay here together. Verse 5 says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, so this is God speaking from heaven, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am pleased. Listen to him. Moses was a voice. Elijah was a voice. And now God is saying, Jesus is the voice. Listen to him. What does Deuteronomy 18:15 say again? I'm going to raise someone up, right, like you from among your brothers, from among the nation of Israel, and you will listen to him. God's saying, this is the one that I promised. Listen to him. In Luke 4, Jesus also tells us that he is that final prophet that was foretold, that was prophesied about in Deuteronomy 18. It's in Jesus' first sermon that he preaches in Nazareth. If you've got your Bible, you can see that in Luke chapter 4, right? He goes into Nazareth and he preaches his first sermon. And if you've done many of those, you know that first time and that second time, and even that 100th time, it's sort of a nerve-wracking experience. I hope that my first one is not on video rolling around somewhere for anybody to go back and watch. But Jesus is there in Nazareth, and so people are wondering, what's he going to say? This is his first time to teach, his first time to be in front of everybody. Where is he going to take this? What direction? And so he sits down up there, and they give him the Isaiah scroll. And so he unrolls it, and he begins to read from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And if you know Isaiah, you might know that Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, and that's a messianic prophecy. That is a prophecy about the Messiah. That is a prophecy about the one that God promised back in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And so it's this thing, Jesus gets it, and he begins to read it. And he reads things like, man, the Lord's anointed me to proclaim the good news of the poor. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim liberty to the captives, to give sight to the blind, to free those that are oppressed, to proclaim the Lord's favor to the people. So he reads this, and the Bible says in Luke 4, verse 20, he rolls it up, he gives the scroll back to the attendant, the person that was keeping track of all of those, and then he sat down. And everybody's looking at him, and listen to what he says in Luke 4, verse 21. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And it's like this mic drop moment where he reads all about the Messiah. He reads all about the one that was promised. And then he says, hey, guys, by the way, that's me. I'm the one that this is talking about. I'm the one that God promised. I'm the one that's going to do all those things. It's me, right? Jesus says he is the one that God promised in Deuteronomy 18 and throughout the rest of the Old Testament. But it's not only that, right? God tells us, Jesus tells us, and the New Testament church tells us. So these guys that wrote the Bible that we read today, right? The guys that write these letters, guys that write the Gospels. You've got Peter in the mix with them. Peter in Acts chapter 3, you can flip there if you want. In Acts chapter 3, Peter is teaching. He's teaching the crowds in Jerusalem. He gives this long sermon about Jesus, saying that Jesus is the one that fulfills the promises of God, that all of the yeses of God find their yes in Jesus. He goes on this long deal, right? A lot of people are going to get saved that day and trust Christ. And in that, in Acts 3, starting in verse 22, he quotes Deuteronomy 18. He quotes exactly what we started off with. He says that listen, the Lord God told you he was going to raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You shall listen to him. But the New Testament church points to the one, Jesus, right? The one promised in Deuteronomy 18 as that last and final prophet and Messiah. We see it. God tells us. Jesus tells us. The New Testament church tells us. And then we see it in Jesus' life. He did what prophets do. Think about the life of Jesus, right? As that last prophet, what did Jesus do? He spoke truth from God. Back to Deuteronomy 18. What did God foretell that prophet was going to speak? He foretold that prophet was going to speak the words that God gave him. Look at what Jesus says. His words, John 12, 49. Jesus says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, for the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father told me." Listen, he's not coming to us with his thoughts, with his opinions, with his takes on life and how things should work in this world. Every word that Jesus spoke in his ministry on earth, every word that's recorded and written down for us is from God the Father through Jesus and ultimately to us. He spoke truth from God as a foreteller in his time on earth. But not just that. As a prophet, Jesus spoke the future. He foretold as well. Think about it. Think about all the times Jesus did that. Here's some examples. Matthew 17 and 20. He tells his disciples, "I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to rise again." They didn't understand what he meant. They didn't understand what he was saying. Right? They didn't know how that could happen, but he was telling them that it was. Not just that, he told them about Judas' betrayal in Matthew 26 and in John 13. In Matthew 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and John 13, this is unfortunate. I feel bad for Peter here, because in all four Gospels, Jesus predicts and tells us that Peter's going to deny him three times before the rooster crows, right? Four different places, and then it happens. Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit's going to come, right? He tells us in John 16, Luke 24, and in Acts chapter 1. And what happens? The Holy Spirit comes. He tells his followers that persecution is going to come, and it does. He tells them that the temple will be destroyed, and it was. All of these things Jesus foretold, and they happened. Right, but the one that I'm waiting for still, the one that I'm most excited about, and I think the one that you hopefully are most excited about as well, is the fact that Jesus told us he's coming back for us. Right, Jesus told us how this is going to end. Jesus told us what is going to happen to us next. John 14, verse 3, Jesus says, "I'm going to go. I'm going to go away. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be." In Matthew 24, Jesus talks about the sounding of the trumpet and him going around and gathering all of us up from the earth and taking us to spend an eternity with him forever, right? Well, what a promise, what a foretelling of Jesus that we have to look forward to. And we can look forward to that with great joy and with great anticipation, right? Well, we should be longing for that time, that day where he does that for us, right? And especially at Christmas time, because there's so much anticipation that just naturally happens at Christmas. I mean, think about what you're looking forward to this season already, right? Every single year as it rolls around. You probably have traditions that you do with your family that you are looking forward to with great anticipation. Maybe it's a meal that you share together. Maybe it's a Christmas light tradition. Maybe it's giving gifts. I don't know what it is, but I'm sure there's things in your family that you are looking forward to with this deep sense of anticipation. Think about Christmas when you were a kid, right? December was the longest month ever. Looking forward to Christmas morning, looking forward to Christmas Eve. You were just anticipating the joy. You were anticipating the fun. Did you ever make those little paper chains for how many days in December and like tear one off every day? Well, I was the only one that did that. Seemed like the chain, it took forever to get short. The month drug on forever. Why? Because we were just looking forward with great anticipation about what was coming next. And so for us at Christmas time, every time we see one of those, every time we dwell on Christmas, we can look forward with great anticipation, knowing that Jesus foretold, Jesus promised that we would spend an eternity with him. Listen, this thread of Jesus, as that final prophet promised in Deuteronomy 18, it's a big deal. It's important for us to trace through the Bible because it's just another promise that's fulfilled in Jesus. But please don't make this mistake this morning. Don't hear me saying that Jesus was just another prophet, that Jesus was just another one in a long line of many that came with words from God. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Savior. He made it very clear so there would be no mistake for us. If your Bible's still open, look at Matthew 16, starting in verse 14. Jesus is there. He's with his disciples. Jesus has taught now several times. He's performed several miracles. He's done some pretty miraculous things. And so people are naturally talking, right? That's what people do, that they talk among themselves about events, about people, about things. And sometimes it's good and productive, and sometimes it's not. It happens today. It happened back then. People were talking. And so Jesus looks at the disciples, and he says, hey, people are talking about me. What are they saying? And the disciples responded. They said, well, some people say you're John the Baptist, right? Back to life. John the Baptist had died years before this. Some people say, well, maybe you're Elijah or one of the prophets. Maybe you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Why would they have thought that Jesus was a prophet? He's forthtelling messages from God. He's foretelling, right, talking about the future, and many of those came true in his lifetime, and they saw it, and they understood it, and he's performing miracles. Right? He does several things that a prophet would do, so it's natural that some of them would think that way. And so Jesus looks at them, and he goes, okay, what about you guys? You guys have been with me. You guys know me. You guys have seen my heart. You've seen what's going on. Who do you think that I am? And Matthew 16:16, what does Peter say? He looks at Jesus and he says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. He says, you're the Christ. You're the Savior. You're the Messiah. You're the one that God promised. You're the one that came to do all that God said the Messiah would do, right? He declares that. He says, you're not a prophet. You're not just a prophet. You're not on the line of prophets. You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus in Matthew 16:17 looks at him and says, blessed are you, Simon, right? Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. He's saying it's not your own perception that allowed you to get this. He says it's the will of God that you knew and understood this. Listen, Jesus came elevated above all the prophets as the Christ, the Son of the living God. What we know, he's prophet. He fulfills Deuteronomy 18, but he's priest, king, and ultimately he's Savior. Right? That's a major thread through the Bible, and we very, very quickly looked and traced it at how that works through the Word of God this morning, and just like every time we go to the Word of God, we need to think about how we, as followers of Jesus, respond to what we see in the Bible this morning, specifically about how do we respond to Jesus as the one prophesied and promised in Deuteronomy 18, and I've got three points for home this morning, three applications, if you will. And the first is very simple. Well, we've got to listen to and live out what Jesus said, right? Listen and live. You can't have one without the other. We need to listen to and live out what Jesus said. That should be obvious, right? It's something that we should do, and we can read the Word of God and know that people have gotten this wrong for a really long time. Go back to Moses as that illustration again. Since we started with him in Deuteronomy, he wrote it. He was the one speaking there. He was speaking for God. Very clearly, right? That the signs, the wonders, everything that he did, it was clear that God's hand was on him. And as the people there of God listened to him and lived them out, what happened? They were blessed. Right? Things went well for them as a people. Things went well for them as a nation. But the moment they began to doubt the word of God, the moment they didn't listen, and the moment they didn't live it out, the moment they didn't trust it, bad things happened to them. There were consequences to not following the word of God. We need to understand that. Sometimes we skip over that part. There were consequences. Remember, an entire generation, they missed out on going to the promised land because they didn't listen to and they didn't live out the word of God in their lives. They let the voices of the world around them overpower the word of God in their mind and in their heart. This past Friday morning, I was in Starbucks. I generally go there Friday mornings for most of the morning. Come find me sometime. We can talk. And I'm working there, and I'm reading, and I'm typing, and I've got these headphones in, and I'm just sort of in my own little world, right, of working through stuff. And out of the corner of my eye, I see some movement. And I don't worry about it because I'm by myself. And I'm just by myself. And so I'm doing my thing. And the movement seems to be getting closer to me and closer to me. And then I turn and I see this lady and her finger is reaching out like she's about to poke me. And that's weird, right? I mean, you don't go around poking people. And I look at her and like her finger's out and it's still getting closer to me. I'm like, what is going on here? And I see her mouth moving. I'm like, what does she want? And so I pull my headphones out. And I'm like, I didn't do that. I'm like, what do you need? How can I help you? And she said, I don't know how to get my Wi-Fi on here. Can you help my computer get connected to the Wi-Fi in here? I was like, yeah, no problem. Got her hooked up, got her computer back. Her poker went away, and she went to work, and I went back to work. But here's the point, right? Here's the point. I had one voice louder than every other voice in that place, right? The voices that was in my ears, it blocked out every distraction. It blocked out every temptation. It blocked out anything that would pull me away from what I was doing. And so for us, this Christmas season, as we seek to listen to and live out the word of God, we got to make sure we're hearing the voice of God, right? We got to make sure that the voice of God is louder than the other voices in our world, that it's louder than the voices in our culture. This Christmas season, we got to ensure that we are listening to and that we are living out and that we are doing what Jesus says. So find a way. Immerse yourself, right? To turn the volume up of the word of God, of the voice of God. Turn it up in your head. Turn it up in your heart. Turn it up in your home. And I'm just telling you now that the volume's not going up if you continue to do things the way that you've always done things, right? Shake it up this season a little bit. Read the word of God different. Get a different Bible reading plan, right? Start an Advent thing. Loop your family into it. Loop friends into it. Loop a life group class into it. To think about it and do it differently so that you can focus on hearing the word of God loud and clear this Christmas season. And be intentional about doing it, living it out. That those two things have to go hand in hand. Chuck Swindoll said this about living it out. Most of us that attend good Bible-believing churches, we know more about Christ than most people will discover in a lifetime. We're neck deep in the truth of God. Our problem, he says, it's not knowing the truth. It's living it out. If we stopped learning new things at this very moment, I don't encourage that, by the way. Let's keep growing, keep learning. He said if we stopped learning new things at this very moment and we drew on the reservoir of knowledge we already have, that would keep us busy for an awfully long time. Listen to the word of God. Turn it up in your head. Turn it up in your heart. Turn it up in your home. You got to touch the knob to get it up, right? Do things to turn that voice up and then live it out. Number two, points for home. Make Christmas about Jesus this year, right? Christmas, it's God's revelation that salvation has come. What did the angels say to the shepherds, right? They take a message from God to the shepherds that first Christmas night, Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. Don't be afraid. We bring you good news of great joy. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, right? Christmas, we know it. Reason for the season, all that. We know that Christmas is about Jesus. Here's a few stats for you. Over 90% of people in America celebrate Christmas for one reason or another. That shocked me. That's a pretty big percentage of people. 90% plus celebrate Christmas, but less than half of them celebrate Christmas for anything to do with Jesus. And when they're polled, they say it. And they say Christmas is about stuff. Christmas is about family. Christmas is about presents or time together. They're not thinking about Jesus. And in fact, you can see that at Money Magnify's annual report. Hopefully this will set you free. Don't be bound by this. Their annual report shows that the average American racks up $1,054 in holiday debt per person. There's a lot of people in our culture that have made Christmas about a lot of things other than Jesus. My encouragement to you this season is guard your heart. Guard your mind. Guard your focus. Don't let it be about stuff. Don't let your kids make it about stuff. Make sure that this season, every season, is about Jesus. If you don't do it with intentionality, I tell you, you're gonna miss the moment. Right? Intentionally make it about Christ. And then finally, knowing that Jesus filled that role of a prophet, each one of us should strive to be, and bear with me, a modern day prophet. I don't mean tell the future, right? That's not what God has called you to do. I mean that we, like Jesus, should strive to speak the truth of God. Well, we've got it right here. It's right here, right? So be that prophet, be that forth teller. Take the word of God to the people that God has placed around you. We've talked a lot about that the past several months in here and in different venues that we've got, so I'm not going to dwell on that, but I do want to ask you a question. How are you doing with that? How are you doing taking the word of God to the people around you? We know God's called us to do it, right? Matthew 28, Acts 1, Jesus' last words here on earth were essentially, take this to people. Take this to your family. Take this to your coworkers. Take this to your neighbor. He didn't say hide it. He didn't say don't talk about it. He said take it and give it. And then he modeled it, right? He modeled it to the people that he was around. Listen, as followers of Jesus, we've been commanded to live like Jesus. Earlier this week, one of the boys and I encountered a situation. And the way that the situation unfolded, it could have been a moment where we could have gotten really, really frustrated, really angry. We could have felt offended or wounded or whatever, and we could have gotten angry about it and had somebody maybe rectify the situation. Or we could have just let it go. And we could have handled what needed to be handled on our own and just taken care of it and shown some grace and forgiveness. And we talked about that in the car as this is sort of happening. It's happening live, and I'm explaining to him, hey, you know, there's two options for this. And most people in life are going to look through, and they're going to be one of these two people. And then I had this parenting moment where I was like, you know what, I'm going to take this to the next level. And I said, all right, bud, I'm going to let you pick how we respond to this. And as those words are coming out of my mouth, I'm thinking, what am I going to do if he picks the wrong option here? I don't know how we're gonna get to the right place. Thankfully, I don't know if he just knew what I wanted to hear or what, but I said, What do you want to do? He said, you know what, let's just deal with it. Let's just handle it, let's forgive him, let's show, like, we can just take care of it ourselves. That's probably the best thing to do. And I said, I 100% agree. That's what we're gonna do. And then I asked him a follow-up question. I said, well, why'd you pick that one? Right? And just by the grace of God, he said, well, because that's what Jesus would do, right? That's how he would live his life. That's how he did live his life. And so for us, we can get it, right? We can understand. God's called us to live like Jesus. God's called us to follow the example, the model there of Jesus. And the example that we have, the model that we have of Jesus is taking the word of God to the people around us. So this Christmas season, and let's ensure that our hearts, that our minds are on Jesus, that he's guarding our hearts, that our focus is on him, and let's do what he said, right? Is that modern day prophet taking the good news of Jesus, especially this season. It's easier at Christmas time than any other time of the year. Let's take it to the people around us to ensure that Christ rules and reigns in the hearts of as many people as possible this season. Would you pray with me? I want to invite you to take a moment, just to bow your head in prayer, and I want to ask you to actively make this a time of prayer. Don't just listen to me talk right now. I want to encourage you to take a step this morning. Wherever you're sitting, just right now, offer up a prayer of thanksgiving to God, just thanking God for all of his promises and that they were fulfilled in Jesus. Just take a moment, pray that right now. God, thank you for your promises, and thank you for fulfilling those in Jesus. And now, just sort of follow this train of thought in your prayer. Go before God and say, God, man, let my family make this season different than other seasons. Say, God, help us to make this Christmas all about you. Let our hearts be on you. Let our minds be on you. God, help us to just turn that volume up in our minds, in our hearts, this Christmas season. And if you ask him, he'll do it. If you ask him, he'll make your heart sensitive. He'll make your heart soft. He'll give you wisdom in your home on how to do this, how to make this a reality. And then finally, ask him one more thing. Say, God, help me to share the hope of Jesus with others this Christmas season. That's what he's told us to do. That's what he's equipped us to do. That's what he's left us on this earth to do. You know, let's be like John the Baptist, who told those people in John chapter 1, listen, I exist to point people to Jesus. Let's exist to point people to Jesus. And this morning, well, while you're praying, if you would say, I don't know Jesus. I mean, I've never taken that step to trust him as my Savior. Man, if you're thinking that right now, the only way that you could be thinking that is because God is putting that in your mind and heart. Right? God is helping you understand that you don't have a relationship with him because you've never trusted in his son, Jesus. And if that's you this morning, listen, please don't leave here today without stepping in our connection room right there in the back of the room. The door's open. There's people in there. People pray with us every week. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, this is your moment. That is your place. We want to walk through God's word with you to show you what it looks like to trust him as your Savior. Maybe you have and you're ready to get baptized, to make that public profession. Jesus commanded us to do that. When we trust in him, we follow through with baptism. We can talk about that with you in there. Or maybe you're just walking through a season that's difficult and you need someone to pray with you. Whatever it is, man, that's your spot, that room, as soon as we dismiss. We'd love to pray with you about those things. God, we love you. We trust you. We thank you for your love for us. And Lord, I pray that our hearts, that our minds would be locked in on you this season. God, I pray that your voice would be the voice in our minds, the voice in our hearts, that you would just continue to turn that volume up, Lord, so that our focus is captured by you. God, I pray that would be contagious in our homes, our life groups, and our community. God, Lord, just grab our hearts. Help us to lean into you this Christmas season. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.